Okay, go ahead and be opening up to James chapter 1. After the service this morning, I don't want to brag. I loved that message this morning. I got to tell you, I've been sitting on that for about a week, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for an opportunity, you know. And man, somebody come up, Zach come up to me after the service, and he was saying, man, when I'm here in the service and I'm listening to that right then, during the service, where are them sick people? I want to get my hands on them sick. Who's got a devil? I'll cast them out now in Jesus' name, you know. And maybe we'll raise a couple of dead on the way to lunch. I mean, and aren't we like that? But then as the day goes on, or the next day, and it's just you at work, or it's you at Walmart, and then it's just little old you, and, you know, I know who I am, and that sure was nice. And it's not that you don't say it's true, but you don't walk in it either. And yours truly included. Now, that's going to change. We are who the Word says we are. Isn't that right? And this is not something new. James wrote about this in the very first century. So let's look at it here in the book of James. And we'll start it off in James 1, verse 18. Now, he's talking about God of His own will. This gospel, by the way, is God's idea. It's not you trying to talk God into something. It's God trying to talk us into believing something. This gospel is His idea. It's His thought. It's His plan. Amen? It was His idea. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. There's never in history, there's never been anybody like you before Jesus. Not since the fall of Adam. There's never been any creature, being, person like you. You're a first fruit. We are first fruits of something that didn't exist before. That's why I say things like, we ought to lock the doors, close the windows if we had any. Because meetings like this are for aliens only. You are truly not of this world. Now, you have a body from this world, but the real you is not of this world. The life that's on you did not originate here. It originated in God. Amen? So, James, he said, now, it was His idea. Of His own will, He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear. Now, we could do a real seminar on this verse just by itself. But swift to hear, slow to speak. Hello, somebody. I'm slow to wrath. See, and now in line with this morning's message, the more that we come into the true knowledge, and I don't mean head knowledge, but I mean transformed to the knowledge that what you say comes to pass, you're going to become slower and slower to speak. Your words are going to become very measured. All right, you'll be as careful with your words as you would be with a six shooter on your hip. You hear that? Your words are actually more powerful. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. A better translation is the residue of wickedness, the leftovers in your flesh, the part of us that still likes to do things that are not, that's not the real you anyway. That's your flesh wanting to do stuff. Okay. Now here's the title of tonight's message. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Why? That's the only thing that's really able to save your soul. Now, He's not saying you're not born again. He's trying to save our soul from thinking we're the same old creature we always were, to believing we are who the Bible says we are. Who we felt like during that morning service is who we are when we walk into Walmart. What we felt like we were when you all pumped up in this morning service, it's who you are when you walk into the hospital. Or you walk into the sick room. Or you walk into wherever God's power is needed. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I'm going to come back to this verse in a minute, but let's go a little farther for context. Now, let me just tell you, verse 21 will never happen until verse 22 begins to happen in your life. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You can read and become a scholarly about the holy game of football. I'm teasing, okay. Some of us love our football, and you can read books. You can write books. You can become an expert. But that doesn't mean you can play football worth a hoot. Unless you ever get out on the field and you start running some plays and doing some laps and getting in shape and failing and getting up and failing and getting up and trying again and try, you will never become good at doing football or just about anything else. At some point, you have to begin doing the word. Yes, sir. I think I know where this is. Let me see. It's come up twice to me. Hang on just a moment. Hang on. Yep, there it is. John 7:17. Now hold, I'll keep your place in James. We're coming back to it. Here's another witness for you. See, do you see there where James says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only? What will happen if you remain a hearer only? It says you deceive your own self. You deceive yourself. You always remain a hearer. You'll see it here in a minute. The transformation will never really happen. You'll just have knowledge. I like to use the example, you'll become a very educated caterpillar. But an educated caterpillar still can't fly. You've got to be transformed. We'll look at that in a minute. Now, see, here it says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And I believe James got that from Jesus' teaching way back here when the way John records it in John 7:17. We'll read for context 8, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine. Did you see that? If any man will do, then you'll know. Other than that, it's just theory. It's just theory. I mean, it's knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. You can become a very educated caterpillar. But at some point, the transformation has to really happen. And that is exactly what James is teaching. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. My dad loved to graft trees. He loved fruit trees. One time he had a tree that he grafted. He had that little tree produced apples, pears, and peaches off of one tree. Now, he never could get it to survive more than one or two seasons. You know, that's just not natural. But just don't tell my dad there's something he can't do. As soon as you tell him he can't do that, that's what he's going to set out to do, you know. And I remember a couple of years, that little tree out there, sure enough, on one tree, you could get an apple, a pear, or a peach. Isn't it? See, that's engrafted. It changed the nature of the tree. He's saying the word needs to be engrafted into you where it becomes part of you. It changes your nature. The fruit will change. Amen? You see that? Normally we think about the word as being seed, but here James is using the analogy that most gardeners would know. Engrafting one limb onto a different kind of tree. Well, the word has to be engrafted into you, where literally that life becomes your life. Got that? So receive with meekness. Meekness means humility, means being teachable. Believe what God says and not how you feel about it. Did y'all hear that? That's what it means, meekness. Moses, I think, you know how meek you have to be to write, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth? At first it almost sounds like pride. But it's really not. Because he wrote it. Because God said it was so. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He would hear God and he would obey God. That's called meekness. We need to hear God and we need to believe God. Then we need to begin to do what his word says for us to do. And as we do that, we're transformed. Not just educated. Okay. Verse 22 again, but be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Zach, this is so perfect. We've all had those same thoughts. Zach was the one that said it today. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. See, this morning, the Holy Spirit, I think, did a good job holding up the mirror where we could see Christ in us. This is who you are. You're a king. You have authority. What you say comes to pass. And pretty soon your chest is starting to say, yeah, yeah. When I lay my hands on the sick, yes, they recover. Where is them funerals? I'm going to stop one, raise the dead on the way to lunch, you know. So you're beholding the truth there. See, that's what the word says. For he beholdeth himself, yeah. But then he goes his way. And straightway, real quick, sometimes before you open the door of your car, you straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, I thought I was really powerful during that service. But on the way to the car, anyway. But see, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, now that's the word, that's exactly what we were doing this morning, was holding up that word to you. He being, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. There it is again. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now then he gives you, I believe, what James does next in verse 26. He gives you step number one to becoming a doer of the word. Step number one, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He doesn't mean you're going to hell. He means it's powerless. It doesn't produce anything. Bridling the tongue, in my opinion, that is my opinion, is step number one to becoming a doer of the word. If we had time to teach all of what James was saying here, he goes, no man can bridle the tongue. It's amazing. He says, it's no man can tame the tongue. He says, no man can tame the tongue, but you got to bridle your tongue. I used to go, what's wrong with you, James? I mean, if I don't bridle my tongue, my religion's vain. In another place, he says, but no man can tame the tongue. No, you have to, you know how you bridle it? With the word of God. You begin to say what God says about you and about every situation that you come up against. You begin to bridle your own tongue. You can't tame it on its own, but you can put a bridle of the word on your tongue. I've learned from experience now the Holy Spirit will help you with that. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, set a watch upon my lips, that I not sin against thee with my mouth. So that's not an exact quote, but that's what it means. The Holy Spirit will help you. See that slow to speak thing? If you just learn to slow down a heartbeat or two before you say, the Holy Spirit will become the greatest mentor of your life. And he'll say, no, don't say that. Say this. Don't say that. Say this. And it's always the Word of God. Amen? So I looked up these words here now. Let's see, let's do one other one here. Y'all know Romans 12:2. You might as well go over there and look at it. Paul is writing about exactly the same thing in Romans 12:2 that James was talking about here. That we become doers of the word, bridle our tongue, so that we become, these are parts of receiving with meekness the engrafted word. And the process, it saves our soul, but it does it by a transformation. It's not really done by an education process. It's done by a transformation process. So Romans 12:2, you know the word is there. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Now there is the word. Be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Well, what will happen if I do that? Well, then you're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, all you got to do is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at Jesus. You'll see the perfect will of God. He is the perfect will of God with legs. If we become transformed like He intends for us to be transformed, the works that He did shall we do also. That's called revival. But it happens by a transformation of the mind. That Greek word there that's translated, be you transformed, that word transformed, is Strong's G3339. Now, it's spelled metamorpho, but I get corrected. People that love me, they say, now, okay, yeah, it's spelled metamorpho, Gary, and that's cute. But it's metamorpheo. Okay. Still got to be transformed. Isn't that right? And it's literally, it's the word, that, the best thing that we think of, it's a butterfly going from a caterpillar, which is one thing, stuck on the ground, kind of ugly, crawling along, eating leaves. Sadly, that describes the life of many Christians. Stuck on the ground, crawling along, smoking grass, I mean eating grass or whatever. And you can educate a butterfly. You could take a caterpillar, put it in butterfly school, and you can educate the dickens out of it. Teach it all about flight and lift and thrust and all of those things, you know. But if that caterpillar never goes through a transformation process, it'll just be an educated caterpillar, and it still can't fly. Metamorpho literally means, the Greek word metamorpho means metamorphosis. Are you glad you came tonight? It literally means to transform. That didn't help me either. So I looked up metamorphosis, because what it says, the Greek word metamorpheo, means to metamorphose. So I looked up metamorphose, and it helps a little bit. It says to change the form, I get this, or nature of. Oh, did you get that? It changes the nature from a little lowly caterpillar that crawls and earthbound to that beautiful butterfly that just soars, and everybody loves butterflies and nobody loves caterpillars. You know? I don't want to remain a caterpillar, do you? We want revival, don't we? We're really talking about revival here, see? Now that word, this will help us, that word metamorpho is only used four times in all of the New Testament. So this will help us, okay? You don't have to turn to these. Twice in Matthew's account and Mark's account, it is used to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When it says He was transfigured before them, it's the same word, metamorpho. And so I just looked these up for you. Matthew 17:2, you don't have to turn there. They were up on the mountain, and He was transfigured. He was metamorphosed before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. Welcome. Glad you're here. All right. Mark gives his account, same event, on the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into the high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured. He was metamorphosed before Him. Now, I've got a teaching series called The Golden Man. Okay, now when they saw Him, what was really happening there, that was Jesus the whole time. But all of a sudden now, they're getting to see the spirit man instead of just the outward man. And I'm telling you right now, being born again You have the same life on the inside of you that Jesus has on the inside of him. Romans makes that really clear. Romans chapter 8. It is that same spirit that raised him from the dead. That same life is in you. So what we're seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration is almost like God took a zipper. Now, that didn't really happen like this, but it's almost like God took a zipper and peeled the flesh back where we could see the real Jesus. Boy, he was shining. Could hardly look at him. He was so bright. Now, here's the amazing thing. If somehow we could put you on any mouth, if somehow we could put a zipper on you, not to shut you up, but to open you up, put a zipper on you where we could strip away that flesh and just get a glimpse of you, you would shine exactly the same way because you've got exactly the same life on the inside of you. Now, God's trying to bring that, the metamorphosis. He's already done that in our spirit. You are a butterfly at your core. And he is trying to bring that life from the inside to the outside. You got that? So those are two places where it's used. The third one we just looked at, Romans 12:2. But now this one I want you to look at in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is the fourth time that that word, metamorpheo, is used in the Bible. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, I still hear pages turning. Hang on. It's more important that we get this than that we hurry. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, and you know that means a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word changed is metamorpheo. We are changed into a similar image. Oh, no, no. We're changed into a lesser image. Oh, no. But as we behold his glory, we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there is some progressive work to it. I mean, nobody is instantly completely transformed that I know of. But you know, butterflies pretty much are. Do you ever notice that? They don't come out of the cocoon with one wing and not the other one. Do you ever notice that? See, when it says from glory to glory, if we had time to do that whole passage, what Paul is doing is comparing the glory of the old covenant with the glory of the new covenant. He said there was glory even under the old covenant. When Moses come down with the Ten Commandments, he had to put a veil on his face because of the glory that was shining out. He says, but us, we don't have to put any veil over our face. Moses couldn't see. What did he want? He says, show me your glory. Isn't that right? He says, you can't see my glory and live. I'll let you see my backsides, as I think so it puts it. Back parts, thank you. Anyway, you can't see my glory and live. But you ever notice where he put him? Put Moses in a cleft in the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't have to have a veil. You can behold the glory of the Lord. And if that old covenant had glory, how much more glory does this new covenant have? And we get to look without a veil, full face, right into the glory of Jesus Christ. And as we do it, looking as a mirror, see, this is what the Bible says. It calls it a glass, a mirror, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, that's the word that's got to be engrafted into you. That's the word. Your very nature has been changed. Remember that metamorphosis? Change in form or nature? Your nature has been changed. The life of God has been engrafted into you. You must receive it, though, with meekness. And again, the Greek word for meekness means humility. Dave would say sometimes it means teachability. So I wrote it like this. Zach was saying this morning, and we all feel it. Man, during that service, I get so pumped up. I'm ready to raise the dead, cast out devils, and heal the sick. Then I get in my car. Pretty soon, this is the devil of same old. Same old, same old. Pretty soon, it's just me out there by myself and with all of my weaknesses and my faults, see? So I wrote it like this. Now, see, this is what James and Paul trying to get across to us. See, when it says receive with meekness, humility, the engrafted word, here's the opposite. You know what pride says? That was a great message. I know what the word says. I know it says that I'm a king and a priest, but really, I know who I am. See, this is what pride says. It's not humility. It sounds like humility, but it's pride. I know who I am. No, I know the Bible says I'm a king and a priest, but come on. I know who I am. I'm just little old me. It doesn't really matter what I do. I don't know if anything will happen when I lay hands on the sick. It doesn't really matter what I say. I don't know if anything comes to pass that I say. I know. What you're saying is, I know my own nature no matter what the Bible says. And I am not who the Word of God says I am. Now, when they're actually saying it, it sounds like meekness. Oh, you know, God is so great and I'm just who I am. And, you know, I'm full of faults and this. And they could just, you know, go on and on and on. And it is pride to the 10th power. You're standing in the face of God and saying your word is not true. Yeah. I don't care what this says. I know who I am. We're never going to walk as He walked like that. Receive with meekness. If it says it's who you are, it is who you are. If it says what you say comes to pass, what you say comes to pass. If He says, I've made you a king and a priest, you are a king and a priest. It gets real quiet, you know. See, this only works for those that believe. Go to Mark 16. Well, no, don't. I don't want to get you off track. Mark 16, what does it say? Those that believe. In my name shall they do all of those wonderful things. But it's those that believe. Doesn't that sound like you got to receive with meekness the engrafted word? Isn't that kind of the definition of believing? So let us receive with meekness the engrafted word. Let us become doers of the word. And I believe the first place to start is to bridle the tongue. I think that's why James has it in there. That's the first place to start. Second place to start, the next verse after that, which I didn't copy, but the next verse says, pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. See? Does that sound like holiness to you? Does it also, if you visit, you know, you ever notice that the widows and orphans normally can't pay you? I like how Alan says it. You need to start learning to help people without expecting any kind of reward. I believe that's really what James is saying there too. You know, start looking for ways to just let God's love flow through you. He's the rewarder, not them. And you don't need people to be seeing you doing it either. He's the rewarder, see? He's wanting to walk with you. Talk with you. You and Him doing stuff together. Even Jesus said, it's not really me, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. So begin to bridle your tongue with the Word of God. Don't speak anything opposite to what the Word of God says about you or anything else. You are a king. I just got a little bit here now. This is what the Word says. We're going to hold up the Word like a mirror for a minute. Here's what the Word says about it. When you look in this mirror, you know what you'll see? You are a king. You are a priest. You have the life and nature of God within you. You have received power after you were baptized with the Holy Ghost. You have the mind of Christ. You think like him all the time. How's that for a good confession? What you say comes to pass because what you say is always the mind of Christ and the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit causes your words to manifest so that the will of the Father can be made manifest on earth, just as it's already being made manifest in heaven. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now let's bridle our tongue just for a moment. I'm going to read that as confessions. How about y'all confess right after me? Let's just become, you know, Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. All right. Let's just say this. Say, I am a king. I am a priest. I have the life and nature of God in me. I have received power after the Holy Ghost came on me. I have the mind of Christ. I think like him all the time. What I say comes to pass because what I say is the mind of Christ. And it is the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit causes my words to manifest so that the will of the Father can be made manifest on earth, just as it's already being made manifest in heaven. Father, I receive with meekness the engrafted word. I am who you say I am. I have what you say I have. And I can do what you say I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Sue, would you like to share something on that saving the soul thing? Do you want to share what you were sharing with the ladies about the that's able to save your soul? Or did I cover it? Okay. She said I did great. Okay. I got the thumbs up from Sue. Now, what I'm going to recommend tonight, we're going to get through a little bit early tonight. What I'm going to recommend, listen, that was a lot of information delivered in this morning's message. I really recommend this week. Angie's already got it online, okay? Hallelujah. Bam, son, it's already online. Video and audio, okay? Now the video is kind of strange. It sounds like I'm preaching in an echo chamber or something, but you can understand it, okay? We're trying to figure out what causes that. But I really recommend going over that one again. We have got to get that one on the inside of us. We have to transform to that. Amen? Listen, revival is coming. What I mean is, revival is coming. Don't you want to be part of it? Caterpillars are going to sit on the side, but butterflies are going to be right in the middle of it. Hello, butterflies. Amen?